It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, I have several topics to get to this morning, including an update on this unprecedented but legal action that the new Grambling State women's volleyball coach pushed through when she was hired a few months ago. In short, she basically told the entire returning team that their scholarships were not going to be renewed and that their places on the roster were gone. Now, there's an interesting spin on what went down, and now it turns out that this new coach has been fired within 3 months of getting a new job at Grambling. I got to tell you, I find this fascinating because when this coach had first started to make these cuts with the current players, well, her boss, the Grambling athletic director, was quoted as confirming that this coach had every right to do this, and in short, he seemed to applaud her efforts. But now there's been a total turnaround, and I want to give you more details and get your sense and to discuss what this could mean for other athletes currently on college scholarships. Then, later on in the hour, I want to talk for a few moments about that frightening incident from a Little League baseball tournament in North Carolina a week or so ago where someone decided to fire off three rounds from a rifle in the middle of the game. Now, no one was struck, but at least one bullet hit a window in a car. In other words, these shots were close, and these kids and their parents were understandably terrified. My question to you, is this going to be yet another new worry when it comes to kids in sports, that guns and rifles will be more prominent than ever before? And I also want to talk to you about a national trend, a trend that, quite frankly, well, maybe trend's the wrong word because this has been around for a number of years. And I want to get a sense from you of what you think this means regarding our kids and their sports. Specifically, if you drive around or walk around pretty much any neighborhood in this country, even when the weather is sunny and beautiful, more often than not, you will not see any kids playing pickup games. That could be baseball, softball, soccer, tennis, touch football, so on and so forth. Oh, yeah, you might see a few pickup basketball games going on. But overall, in general, unless there are organized youth sports leagues, leagues that are run by the parents or by club operators, you rarely ever see kids going out and playing sports on their own. All those fields are pretty much empty all the time. It's a lot different from when I was a kid, and chances are when you were a kid. When I grew up, there were always a game going on these fields. Kids were often left to their own, you know, creative devices in terms of inventing their own games, depending on how many of their friends showed up to play. But that was okay because we just enjoyed playing and competing against our friends. In contrast, and forgive me if this is not kind, but it just seems that for kids today, unless there are uniforms, a scoreboard, refs, umpires, coaches, it just seems that there's no reason for kids to go out and play just for fun. And to me, well, that may be the greatest disappointment in youth sports today. So I want to get your thoughts on that topic as well. Have we accidentally raised a generation of young athletes who only want to play if they get a trophy? Meaning that unless it's really clear to the kids that there are going to be uniforms and they're going to be referees, and as I said, they're going to keep score and there'll be a lot of parents at the game, is that the only reason the kids go out now to play sports? Okay, we've got a lot to discuss this morning, but let's start off what happened with Grambling State Women's Volleyball. I mentioned this situation a few weeks ago because of what this new coach did. That is, she was hired, you know, by Grambling, and within a few weeks, she basically informed all the players in the program that their scholarships were going to be terminated. Now, just to be clear, legally, she has the right to do that. The NCAA does not guarantee athletic scholarships for more than 1 year. But that being said, I can't really recall ever hearing a coach doing something as brazen as cutting the entire team. Let me give you a quick recap of what went down. This is I got this from the Washington Post. Within 3 months of her hiring at Grambling State, women's volleyball coach Chelsea Lucas was making headlines. A 2007 Grambling graduate, Lucas starred on the volleyball court for the Tigers, making her a familiar face upon being tapped this past February to lead the program. But by April, she had drawn the ire of athletes, parents, and alumni by dropping all 19 players from the roster. Now, Grambling State, whose administration initially supported Lucas's actions, announced this past week that it fired the first-year coach amid an ongoing investigation into what she was doing. Quote, the decision was made due to the determination of an internal investigation within the volleyball program, the school said in a statement. Now, just for the record, Grambling State, the volleyball team, went 11-17 last year, obviously under 500, but they were 8-8 in their conference. Lucas had come over from Arkansas Pine Bluff, where they finished 18-15 last year, and she had an overall career record there of 37-44. But here's where it gets a little tricky and dicey. There were also some rumors circulating that there was some bad blood between Grambling's volleyball team and with Lucas's team at Arkansas Pine Bluff. That there was some name-calling when the two teams played each other last season. And even more, there were some rumors that several of Lucas's players at Arkansas Pine Bluff had actually entered the transfer portal after she had left that school. And that several of those players from Arkansas Pine Bluff were apparently now eager to rejoin their former coach at Grambling. I mean, now look, this is all only speculation, and I just want to emphasize that. But the administration at Grambling did, as I said, did an investigation, and as noted, they decided to let Lucas go. I find this all to be quite fascinating and obviously very disturbing. As I said, college coaches, you know, especially those who were eager and hired with the hope of upgrading a college program, they almost immediately look at the returning players on the roster. They want to see who's on scholarship, and they begin to evaluate their talent and, you know, what they see, how these returning players may fit into their program. And the new coach, of course, is very, very eager to bring in new players, to bring in new talent. But traditionally, the coach takes his or her time to evaluate the current players and then decides one by one on which kids and which scholarships are not or will be renewed. Why? So that the kid who's on scholarship has some time to find a new way to pay for their tuition if they are cut from the team, or if necessary, to even transfer to another college. It's an agonizing process for anyone to go through. But when a new coach comes in and decides that pretty much everyone on the roster is going to be let go, including the walk-ons, yeah, well, that's a bit harsh. In any event, in her appointment, after being hired at Grambling, Coach Lucas, apparently she held 3 practice sessions to go over the returning talent. Quote, most of which consisted of very few volleyball-related drills and just a lot of punishment-related running. That's according from a local paper of the Monroe News Star. These 3 practice sessions were meant, apparently, for the new coach to evaluate the returning athletes on her roster. In any event, Lucas reportedly then called for individual meetings in which he informed the scholarship players, there were 12 of them, they would not be renewed for scholarships for the upcoming season, and the 7 walk-ons were told their spots on the roster were also gone. And again, we talked about the fact that there were some rumors and thoughts that maybe some of her former players from Arkansas Pine Bluff were going to end up, you know, over at Grambling. One mom was quoted in the Monroe News Star saying, quote, "The girls know the girls. The girls at Grambling know the girls at Arkansas Pine Bluff. They're in the same circle of sport." This comes from Tasha Bryce, who is the mother of one of the kids on the Grambling team. Continuing from her quote, "So they were told by the Arkansas Pine Bluff players that they were going to enter the transfer portal, and that they were going to come over. Not going to lie, I fact-checked," said this mom, "and sure enough, they were all there in the portal." So this is pretty interesting stuff. Obviously, it's disappointing, it's heartbreaking, and so on and so forth. It is legal. The coach has a right to do this. But common sense and civility, which is so lacking in sports today, I mean, that would just suggest that Coach Lucas did not handle this situation all that well. And even more stunning, as mentioned, Lucas is an alum of Grambling, where she herself had been a star volleyball player. And at the start of this controversy, she had the backing of the athletic director at Grambling. 877-337-6666. What do you think about this? Will this case serve as a warning, as a cautionary tale to other college coaches to be a little more careful when they decide to eliminate or get rid of their current roster players? Is this another example of how the transfer portal can be used to hurt college programs? I mean, in the end, the bottom line is after just 3 months on the job, Chelsea Lucas was fired by Grambling. But was she just doing her job? So once again, we find ourselves in uncharted territory. It's the wild, wild west of coaches who want to win pretty much at any cost. And by the way, once Lucas was fired, all the current volleyball players at Grambling who had been on scholarship and had been walk-ons, they were told that they would now be able to continue to have their aid. In short, it was a total 180, a total reversal of action by Grambling. So that's good. All right. Let's talk about this. When I return from the break, we'll get into this and talk more. I think this case has a lot of real possible repercussions that we ought to talk about. Stay with me.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking about this Grambling women's volleyball coach. What she did when she got the job at her alma mater, within a matter of weeks, she basically told all the current players on the school team that their scholarships were not going to be renewed. And at that time, the Grambling athletic director, well, he backed her move, saying in effect that just as athletes can use the transfer portal to their own benefit, then college coaches can do what they need to do to take their programs to a higher level. Kind of a harsh way to defend a new coach's actions, to be sure, but that's what went down. Now, again, college scholarships, athletic scholarships are not guaranteed for more than a year. A coach is under no obligation to renew it. Most coaches do, of course, but again, technically the coach at Grambling was following the NCAA rules. So, I mean, some college coaches, when they decide that they want a player to leave, well, the better coaches will sit down with the youngster and explain the situation and so on, and explain that, you know, maybe you should be better off at another school. Or in some cases, coaches will just basically ignore the kid, never play them. The athlete, unfortunately, then gets the message and usually just enters the transfer portal in hopes of finding another university and hopefully another scholarship. Sounds cruel, but again, this happens routinely. In this case, the coach just basically ripped a Band-Aid off the wound, and the Grambling players were hurt and angry. That's what we're talking about. Let's get some calls on this. Let's start this morning with Tim in Eastchester. Tim, good morning. You're first up on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Coach, as you and Jack always says, the Wild Wild West of youth sports. I like to introduce a new term. I think it's more like Michigas, the Yiddish term of craziness, because nothing makes sense anymore. I mean, you know, it really is the Wild Wild West. Coach, if I could deviate for a second, I'd like to first say happy belated Bastille Day. Me and you both share that day together. It's our birthday, so happy birthday, Coach. Oh,
thank you very much, Tim, and same to you.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Coach, a couple of weeks ago, my second daughter graduated high school, and it was a bittersweet moment because it brought closure and yet a new opening, a new chapter of her life, because she's heading off to Clemson to meet up with her older sister. And as I said in the past, like the last 10 years of listening to your show has brought invaluable information about youth and sports, and both of my daughters participated in several sports during their JV and varsity endeavors. And so I can't thank you enough for all that great stuff that you brought to the table. But, Coach, I'd like to thank you for something else. It's those other stories like you shared last week about the baseball gum.
Big League Chew, of course.
Yes, and the story about you going back to the minors, which I loved, and the story about your father walking in from the outfield at the psychiatric facility. I can't even hold back my laughter now. And well, then you bring it up a couple of weeks ago about Ronja Angel passing away, who Ron Darling said was the Hemingway of baseball writers.
Yes.
You know, and I think maybe my personal favorite was your interview with Coach Billy Mita Ratona, and he brought up that story about when he finally was able to get into the lineup and he gets to the table and who's there? The voice of God, Bob Shepard, who's going to introduce him, but he can't make out the last name. So he goes, now entering the game for St. John's, number 10, Billy, number 10.
Well, Tim, this is quite a – I had no idea that you had all these notes, and you really touched a lot of the high points of the last 10 years with the show, but those are all great and all true stories. And, I'm thrilled that you've enjoyed watching your daughters play ball in school and understand that, yeah, it is, you know, that a lot of parents don't understand that going to, especially a school like a Clemson, which is big-time sports, obviously, it's the end of one's career at the high school. Most kids go through that, and they play their last games as a senior. It is a bittersweet moment, but then again, it sounds like you have your priorities very much in order. Tim, thank you for the call. It's very, very nice to hear from you. Let me move on. Let's go to Dr. Rob Fried out in Lake Success. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. I must, before I get into this topic, I must talk about last week's show. I was actually hearing that interview with you and him. I mean, the Big Chew was just a good add-on. It was a great story and entrepreneurship.
Yep.
But Jack's interview with you, number one, I met Jack through your show 5-6 years ago. I mean, I met you 15 years ago at a symposium you were doing in Jersey. The friendships that I've developed through your show, through WFAN, but really what you have brought to my table has been incredible, okay? It goes back to my dad. It brings back my childhood. It's by far the most important show in my sports, listening to this station, because I'm getting older and sports are not as important. You know, professional sports are not as important to me. I just had to share that it was sensational. Jack, I love you. And one thing he touched on, which really hit home, what he was talking about with his own son, Rick, was when his kid got from high school, got to, you know, to college, he was just another player there and
yes,
had to prove himself. And I remember when I was a walk-on initially at Adelphi, and I did get that scholarship right after I proved myself, had, you know, 3 years of scholarship, and it was had to be renewed every year, like you said, had to sit down and sign a contract, and they give you a certain amount of money, and it's a yearly thing. You have to keep on proving yourself. But I remember when I participated in my first Boston Marathon, I lined up on the starting line in 1983, and I'm looking at Bill Rogers and all these world-class athletes, and I'm this 22-year-old college kid standing with some of the best athletes in the world on the front line, and I'm saying to myself, do I belong here? Am I good enough? The gun goes off, and I just remember how once the participation starts and the game begins, you forget everything, your fears, and you just do what you're trained to do. And this is just something, it's made my life. It has completely, sports has made my life. And when you talked about the kids, Rick, how they're not playing anymore, we all did. We all had pickup games. And that's the one thing the young kids are missing. But now to get onto your topic on the coach, which I think is really what you wanted to talk about going forward, I think it's disgusting. I think what she did, it's what she did with, on a self-centered way, she was just trying to promote herself. All these kids that were on scholarship, and congrats to the administration for firing this coach and getting all these kids back. They chose that school. They were recruited there. The walk-ons earned their way on. Who is she, Rick, to come in and just pick apart the program for her own personal gain? And she obviously, by her record, Rick, didn't really prove that much.
No, that's that. I'm glad you brought that up, Rob. You know, it isn't like she was coming from a winning conference championships. Apparently, she had some success, but it wasn't like overwhelming. And she had gone to Grambling. There was just such a lack of sensitivity. And actually, you know, it ties back into what Jack Smithlin was saying last week on the show about the fact that, you know, that when kids go from being high school stars and they make that jump to college, it's a whole different ball game, and clearly this situation is exactly what so many kids and their parents fear, that all of a sudden there's a change in the coaching, and all of a sudden, how is the new coach like you? Are they going to keep your scholarship? What about your playing time? This is the kind of nightmare that so many kids and their parents fear, and this woman just basically made it happen. And again, it struck me that you know, it took Grambling 3 months to figure this out, that maybe this was not a good idea. That, yes, she was able to do this according to the NCAA rules, but what kind of, you're dealing with the emotions and real people, you know, you got to find a better way. You got to have a – in fact, you know, a few years ago, now I just thought of this, at Harvard – Tommy Amaker had been brought in as a new men's basketball coach. And Amaker, of course, was a big star in college and had coached at some big-time D1 programs. Harvard, of course, does not have athletic scholarships. He came in, and during the course at the end of his first year, he allegedly told the kids, the guys on the team, don't even bother coming out for the team next year, because next year I'll have my own players I'm bringing in. And, of course, you can't say that to kids in college. And, apparently Amaker, the word got quickly to the administration at Harvard, and they quickly basically reprimanded him for saying that. And they said, that's not what we do here at Harvard. We don't do stuff like that. And, of course, he's still there, and he's had success, but clearly he had to learn a lesson the hard way. Anyhow, hey, Rob, thank you for the call. Thank you for the kind comments. Let's move on. Let's go to Ed Ward over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Good, Ed. How are you?
I'm running a showcase right now, so this topic correlates really well.
Yes.
I just want to let you know, this not renewing scholarships for new coaches come in, this is old news. In 1993, when I was coaching at FDU, if you remember, Mark Connor was the old coach at the University of Tennessee.
Yep.
And Eddie Ford sent a lot of players down from the North Jersey area. Rod Delmonico takes over, and what he does is, like, over 20 Northern players, he does not renew their scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, there was nothing. And it was ironic. We had a player, Mike Carlson. Rutgers got a player, Jason Imperial. And Seton Hall got a player, Clint Stackett. And what's ironic about it was all three players got drafted in the 20th round or lower. So the thing is, it's out there. You can do it. And it was funny. I did a lecture at my showcase on Friday. And what we talked about was, I told the parents, that's a question you got to ask. If my scholarship is not getting renewed, why wouldn't it get renewed? And I gave different examples. And you know what? The thing is, the parents got to be educated too on that. Well, you know what's crazy, too, Rick? With the, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the transfer portal's out of control.
Well, that's I was just going to say, Ed, that's what's all really sort of putting this to a higher level. Yes, of course, for years these horror stories have existed where coaches have not renewed scholarships. But now the coaches say, well, the transfer portal's there. Just go someplace else, you know?
Well, here's the thing about it now. Since I coach travel baseball, we've been to events already. And I'm running events. Coaches aren't going out of their office to recruit now. They're sitting in their office looking on the transfer portal and calling players if they want to transfer. That's how bad it's getting. And it's hurting the young athlete that wants to get recruited. We were talking about this yesterday with two legendary coaches, Jay Blackwell, former Freddie Hill assistant, and Del Pra, a legendary junior college coach in New Jersey, because they had teams in my event. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how bad it is to coach right now on that. And it's not good. It was more fun when we were coaching in the college level 30 years ago. It's just an out-of-control racket right now.
Well, I got to tell you, I found that a little bit, well, more than just a little, but quite disturbing. If I'm a college coach, even with the transfer portal, even with all the stuff being online with video and so on and so forth, I still want to see that kid in person. I still want to see them perform. I still want to see how they interact with their teammates, how they interact with their coach, how they deal with adversity during the course of a game. I want to see that live and in person. I just don't want to rely upon highlight reels or basically just stats. I mean, this is somebody that I'm going to make an investment in on behalf of the college, and I want to see what they're like. So that's a bit distressing. Is it? I don't know if it's because of COVID or other concerns, financial concerns, but honestly, Ed, that's not the way that you know. And obviously, from the other way around, the kid wants to see the coach in person too. Simple as that. Ed, I got to take a break. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the comments. And friends, this is why I wanted to talk about this Grambling situation, because it's sort of, unfortunately, symptomatic of where we are today with college coaches and recruiting and trying to build their programs, and the impact the transfer portal has, because now it's become a commonplace situation, and more coaches are basically saying that, you know, if you aren't happy in the program, you're not happy with your playing time, you're not happy with the coaching, you're not happy with maybe we're going to take your scholarship money away or reduce it, then you can just go in the transfer portal and go someplace else. And that's harsh. Again, the lack of civility or sensitivity really concerns me. And again, we're not talking necessarily about Division I basketball or football. We're talking about, in this case, women's volleyball. I mean, so this is across the board at all these various programs, and it's disconcerting, to say the least. It's unsettling. And, again, it's a business, particularly even at the college level. All right, let me take a timeout. When I come back, I'm going to tell you a quick story about I'll just leave it at that. I'll tell you an interesting story about my vacation. And we'll take more of your calls at 877-337-6666. Back here on the Sports Edge. Just a quick reminder that you can always get a preview of my upcoming show on Twitter. You just go to Ask Coach Wolf, and you can find recordings of my shows at AskCoachWolf.com or on the podcast link on WFAN.com. Hey, very quickly, how about that lawsuit being won by a number of minor league baseball players? They won something like $185 million from Major League Baseball, because minor league ball players, well, of course, they earn very, very little in terms of their pay. Their housing costs are not covered. You don't get paid during spring training, which I don't think many people know. But it was a shock to me when I was in spring training many years ago that I got down there, I guess, at the end of February, early March, and we didn't open a season until, I guess, early April. But for that entire month of March, you don't get paid. You're just there. And you take the field. You work 7 days a week, and they obviously feed you, but you don't get paid. Anyhow, I don't think I'm going to qualify for any of that $185 million lawsuit money. But I can assure you that for decades, minor league players, you don't get a paycheck until the actual season begins. You get paid every, twice a month. But I remember very distinctly when you leave spring training and you get to the minor league town where you're going to be playing that year, the team picks up your motel bill for maybe 3 days. But during those 3 days, you have to go out and find a room on your own, which again you have to pay for. You have to, you know, make your own food. You got to find a place to rent. You got to find transportation to the ballpark, which in many cases means you have to find a beat-up old jalopy that you can drive. And, of course, you're not making any money. You're making peanuts. I mean, trust me, it was pretty rugged. It was not glamorous. So I'm glad to see that Major League Baseball is finally going to do the right thing here with making sure these kids are getting compensated. I think they're thinking that the average person in this lawsuit is going to get about $5,000. It isn't much, but obviously it's enough to at least make them feel like, well, okay, I'm getting paid back for all those terrible conditions I had to go through as a professional baseball player. Okay, let's take some more calls about the situation with Grambling, because I do think this is a hot button issue for a lot of people. Let's go to E. Frank out in Astoria. Hey, E. Frank, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Yes, good morning, Rick. I'm also a little bit alarmed that this situation in Grambling is taking a direction where they're accusing the athletic director and the coaches, even as themselves, as a discriminatory instrument towards their scholarship recipients. And mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you this story. A long time ago, it's in regards to my alma mater, my Catholic high school alma mater. We have, and he actually is still working, an athletic director there who was a very reasonable, very knowledgeable, and very, very well-educated man, who is sponsored by the University of St. John's, St. John's University. I went to the high school, and we had a situation. It was at the very end of when I was graduating. Let me just tell you this right off. In my freshman year in high school, I tried out for junior varsity baseball. And, you know, those things, they don't erase. I never made the first cut. You know, mm-hmm. I know how painful it is to be an athlete.
Sure.
And we had an All-American Public School Athletic League lacrosse champion student who decided out of her own knowledge to just transfer into the Catholic High School Athletic Association, into our varsity volleyball teams, varsity swimming teams, and so on. And it was a problem that never was solved at any level for the future going. She was, from a public school. She was a Quaker as well. She had no affiliation with the Catholic faith. And she gave us a headache. She was throwing books around, threatening our alumnus and our faculty staff, and we had to tolerate that. And that's what's going on in Grambling. That they actually say if they don't want to deal with students that don't perform at their expectancy, they can do whatever they want. And I feel very sorry for the parents who work so hard and they want to see their children succeed in an athletic program that their particular college of choosing. And they go, and a coach just simply says, the portal has indicated that the student is not performing to the athletic competition level of other students. That's terrible. And you can't even prove that in a court of law, that there's some sort of discrimination with the portal system.
No, and to your point, as you said, Frank, and thank you for calling in this morning. Yes, this has been going on for a number of years. It's usually not talked about publicly. But a situation like this with Grambling, which made headlines, now, of course, everybody's got an opinion about this, and it just shines a light on coaches who, yeah, we understand they want to build a program and they want to get a clean slate and so on and so forth. But at some point, you got to treat the kids who are still there, who are students at that university, who were recruited by your predecessor and given scholarship money, or the kids who are walk-ons. You gotta treat them with some sense of sensitivity, of civility. You know, make sure that give them many, many workouts. Take your time. What's the rush? And if you come to the decision that they're not really going to be part of your program, then you got to sit down and have a real sort of heart-to-heart with them so they understand, you know, why that decision is being made. But to basically go in and callously say after just a few weeks that, you know what, none of you guys are going to be renewed with your scholarships, your walk-ons, you're gone too, that is not the way to do it. And I think we all feel the same way. All right, let me move on quickly, because I mentioned before about the fact that we're all so much concerned that kids, we see so few kids ever playing on open athletic fields. You just don't see that anymore. And, of course, that's not news to anyone. But I did want to share with you a true story of my vacation last week on the beautiful island of Nantucket, which is off the coast of Cape Cod. The weather was just great. And I got to tell you, when the Wolf family goes on vacation, well, we're a little different. Some families go to Nantucket to play golf or to play tennis or just to go to the beach or maybe even go sailing. But again, we're a little different. For myself and my son John, if the weather is warm and sunny, when we're on Nantucket, we head out to the local high school, Nantucket High School. It's the home of the Whalers, where there is usually a beat-up old L screen, which we put in front of the pitching mound on the baseball field. And I basically pitch a bag of baseballs to John. He's 38, but like most former ball players, he still loves to hit. And this past week, we were joined by one of John's former teammates at Harvard, Jeff Freeman. Jeff was a catcher in college, and like John, is still in terrific shape. He still loves to go out and hit. These days, Jeff is a professor of political science at Dartmouth. But again, he loves to hit, and this is what we do. So we've been doing this for about, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Going up to Nantucket and taking batting practice, BP, has become a sort of a Wolf tradition, and it's just great. I will tell you, usually there's a pretty good breeze blowing, which helps propel lots of balls over the fence. But last week, on this particular beautiful morning, as we were getting loose and warming up, a middle-aged man came ambling over from one of the high school administration buildings. He came over to me, and I could see he was trying to find the right words. In short, apparently his boss had sent him over to tell me, John, and Jeff that we had to get off the baseball diamond. Incredulous, I asked him why, and I explained to him we've been using the high school field for well over a decade, that we were exceedingly respectful of the field. We made sure everything was taken care of. We didn't make a mess. We didn't cut anything up. The man sort of smiled weakly and said that it really wasn't his decision, but that his boss had a rule that the field needed to be protected from being overused. I sort of laughed, and I pointed out that I couldn't ever recall ever seeing anyone except us ever taking batting practice in our years on the high school baseball field, that the dirt in the infield was pretty much covered with weeds. In short, overuse was certainly not a concern for this high school facility. Clearly, no one had used the field since the spring season had ended several weeks ago. Nevertheless, the man, he persisted politely. I didn't want to get him in trouble, so we packed up and left. Mind you, this was a high school baseball field that we have never, ever, ever seen anyone use over the last 10, 15 years. And again, this goes to my original point. If some local kids wanted to go out and use this field just for fun, well, I gather they would be chased off the field as well. I mean, to me, the field is there to be used, not just by old guys like myself, but by kids. It just didn't make any sense. Now, again, I asked, is there insurance concern? Maybe the school district doesn't want to be sued if a kid gets hurt playing ball on a baseball diamond? Maybe. But still, back when I was growing up, and perhaps with you as well, playing with my buddies on school fields in the summer, I don't recall anyone getting seriously hurt. All right, this is what I'm talking about here in terms of the fact that, and I understand high schools and school districts are aware that they want, they're concerned that there'll be overuse of their fields and that maybe that'll tear up the turf and so on and so forth, and you need to get permits and all that stuff. But still, I don't understand any of this as to why we are today. And I'm just, I have a feeling a lot of you share the same concerns, that here we have, in many cases, in many neighborhoods, in many communities, beautiful high school fields, but you can't get on them in the summertime. And this happened to me in Nantucket, and I was basically just bewildered. It was just strange. All right, 877-337-6666. Let's continue. Let's go to Jack Smithlin. Jack, good morning. You're on the fan.
How are you, Rick?
Jack, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very good. I'm actually up in Vermont right now, and the topic. First of all, you know, I just want to thank Dr. Rob for his kind words. He's a family member now, just like you. I mean, you guys are people that I've met through this radio program, and your show is just, you know, one of the best, if not the best. There's nothing like it. So, you know, it does build friendships, and, you know, these are valued friendships. So, even Ed, I love Ed. Ed is your guy on the board. You know, he's the best.
Everybody loves the Zoo Man. I mean, the Zoo Man, without the Zoo Man, I don't think WFAN stays on the air.
We know you don't play golf, but Dr. Rob and I are trying to get him out to play some golf.
Well, one of the great, great benefits of doing this show for so many years is exactly what you said, Jack, the friendships. It is the magic of radio. Obviously, there is a bond that all the people who listen and call in or email me or whatever, they all share the same passion and love for sports that we all have. And we're all concerned about, you know, what's happening to sports, because we do want to make sure the next generation of kids get the same kind of enjoyment and fun that we enjoyed playing as kids, and we still continue into our older years. So, it's really kind of a magical kind of situation. But anyhow, tell me your thoughts this morning. So,
yeah, well, the gambling thing, real quick. You know, I'm old school. I recruit by going out and watching. I mean, there are recruiting sites that you can connect with players that you're not going to normally see, and then make arrangements to see them. But like you said, I love seeing my players. Last year, a year ago, I recruited a girl. I saw her in an actual tournament down in South Jersey, and I walked up to her at the end of the game with her dad, and I asked her, you know, if she made any decisions yet, and I said I would love to recruit her to New Jersey City University. She was a local girl too. She was a New Jersey girl, and she said that she had already committed to Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Well, I backed away immediately. I didn't try to convince her that my school was better. I respected her decision. I respected her dad's decision. And just recently, there was an incident there where there was a murder on campus in her dorm. And the very next day, the day after the murder, I got a call from her dad and asked if the door was still open. I said, of course it is. And now she's playing for us this coming fall. So, you know, that's old school. I don't use the portal. The portal is a crazy thing. Kids can just choose. You know, it's like I said to you before, you know, it's like going to a Chinese restaurant. You know, one from column A, two from column B. You can go wherever you want, whenever you want. It's getting crazy. So, you know, I'm old school. I do it old school, and I'm going to continue to do it old school.
But, Jack, let me go back to that story real quickly. You said this is a kid who had went to Lincoln University, and there had been a murder.
Yep. There was a murder in the next dorm room on her same floor. There was a murder.
Oh my gosh! So the kid,
an irate mother. I don't know the true story, but an irate mother whose daughter was being harassed by her roommate, I believe. Please don't quote me on this because I don't know the true story. I didn't follow the murder. All I did was follow the girl, Jalen, who's now coming to play for us, but. The girl was I think the murder was the mother, an irate mother that killed her roommate's, her daughter's roommate.
And, gosh.
But that's it. But the point I was trying to make was that this girl came to me because I talked to her. I was polite to her. I honored her decision. Didn't try to convince her to come our way. And, you know, you got to do it old school. Old school is the best school. I'm telling you that right now. I mean, with all these crazy rules that the NCAA puts out, every time that they can't handle a problem, they just let it go. And now you can do whatever you want type of thing. You know, I don't see the NCAA going far either. They're just making too many crazy mistakes and allowing too many things to happen. But getting back to your last story, that's the story that we had discussed. That's a great story. I come home from practice. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you and I have talked about this. This is like, you know, no matter where you go, any time of the, you know, the summertime, there's nobody playing in these fields.
I told you this the other day. I said I come home the same way every day from practice or from my lessons or just, you know, in town, and I drive by this one field every single day, every day. And I look down that field, and there's nobody ever on it. And it bothers me. I mean, I remember when I was in school, you know, I'd come home at sixth grade, seventh grade, get changed and get out and go play some sandlot baseball or, you know, even kickball in the street or whatever the case may be. Like you said, kids are not doing it for the fun anymore. I mean, you know, I made a statement months ago that there's no bigger heart than the heart of a Division III athlete. Mm-hmm. They play for the love of the game. They don't get money. All they get is academic money and any scholarships they can find here and there, but they don't get any type of academic, they don't get any type of athletic money. So they're out there playing because they love it.
Correct.
And that's one of the great reasons that I'm coaching at the D3 level. I mean, I have had offers at D2, even one D school up in New York State years and years ago, but D3, these kids want to be there. And, you know, and when they see the writing on the wall, like you said, like this coach from Grambling, I mean, there were other motives there. I mean, whether it was the problems they had with Grambling during the season, and he wanted everybody out, or he was bringing his whole team in with him. But there are ways to do it, like you said. Let the players bring in your better players. Let them win positions. You know, let the other players see the writing on the wall that these kids are better and that maybe they're going to take a back seat. But you don't come in and do what she did. That was completely outrageous.
Yeah, as I said.
I have a question for you. Did any of those girls that were let go ask back? Did they get their scholarships back?
Yes. The Grambling Athletic Administration basically reinstated themselves.
Good.
But again, it's all the situation obviously is totally in flux now. They have not announced who's going to be the new coach, what's going on going forward. But it clearly was just handled. They really botched the whole thing. And I understand and appreciate new coach wants to bring in new players and build a program up, but as you said, Jack, you can't do it that way. You can't do it in a way that's just going to, you know, break the hearts of kids who have played for the school and are counting on that scholarship money. You can't do it that way. Anyhow, the biggest concern, too, to come back to your point before, Jack, is the fact that, all these fields are empty and they're not being used. And maybe it's because, as I said, it's because school districts don't want to have the fields be overused or they're afraid of insurance concerns or who knows what. But I tell you, that was and Jack, thank you, as always, for your call. You know, I went through this last week, as I said, in Nantucket on a high school field that nobody has used in probably, you know, several months. And we got kicked off because we're not allowed to use the facilities because of overuse concerns when nobody's using the field. I still find it mind-boggling. All right, that's my show for this morning. My thanks, as always, to the Zoom Man, Ed R. Zuman. Mark Malusis, he comes your way next here on The Fan. I'll see you next Sunday morning right here on The Sports Edge.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.